Good morning. My name is John, and I will be your conference operator for today's call. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the DuPont Fourth Quarter 2013 Earnings Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer period. If you would like to pose a question at that time, please press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. In the interest of time, management requests that you limit yourself to one question and to one follow-up question, and please pick up your handset to allow optimal sound quality. If you have additional questions, you may re-enter the queue. Thank you. It's now my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Carl Lukach, Vice President of Investor Relations. Carl, you may begin.
Thank you, John. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for joining us to cover DuPont's fourth quarter 2013 performance. Joining me are Alan Coleman, Chair and CEO, and Nick Fanandakis, Executive Vice President and CFO. The slides for today's presentation can be found on our website along with our news release. Please note that we have also posted our fourth quarter segment performance slides and outlook commentary this morning. During the course of this conference call, we will make forward-looking statements, and I direct you to slide two for our disclaimers. All statements that address expectations or projections about the future are forward-looking statements. Although they reflect our current expectations, these statements are not guarantees of future performance but involve a number of risks and assumptions. We urge you to review DuPont's SEC filings for a discussion of some of the factors that could cause actual results to differ materially. We also will refer to non-GAAP measures and request that you review our reconciliations to GAAP statements provided with our earnings news release and on our website. For today's agenda, Alan will start with opening comments. Nick will review our fourth quarter financial performance and 2014 outlook, and I'll provide business segment insights. We'll conclude with Alan's comments and then follow with your questions. With that introduction, it's now my pleasure to turn the call over to Alan.
Great. Thank you, Carl, and good morning, and thank all of you for joining us. I'm pleased to review DuPont's fourth quarter and full year 2013 performance. We closed 2013 with strong fourth quarter results. Our revenue grew 6%. Segment operating earnings grew 52%. Our margin improved almost 400 basis points, and operating earnings per share of $0.59 was nearly triple last year. Results came in largely as expected and communicated to you 3 months ago. Most of our businesses grew revenue and earnings. The exception, as anticipated, was our Performance Chemicals segment, although the trends there are clearly positive. We posted a fourth quarter operating earnings profit in our Ag segment, which, as you know, historically records a seasonal loss at this time of the year. Our Nutrition and Health segment grew earnings 40%. Safety and Protection grew 57%, and Electronics and Communication more than doubled its operating earnings. Segment earnings growth and margin improvement were driven by new product sales, higher volumes, improved plant utilization rates, good cost control, and productivity gains. Demand for DuPont products was higher in key industries and across all regions. Demand from automotive and industrial markets was better than earlier in the year. Demand from food ingredients markets was stable, and we saw clear signs of a recovery in the photovoltaic market, principally in China. In Ag, demand for our insecticides was very strong in Latin America, driven by heavy insect pressure and the excellent performance of Rynaxypyr. Nick will take you through our fourth quarter financials next, so let me focus now on our full year performance. Our 2013 revenue growth of 3% and operating earnings growth of 3% overcame significant price declines and market disruptions in the global TiO2 market. This resulted in Performance Chemicals segment operating earnings declining 45% or $0.66 per share, overshadowing the strong performance of our other businesses. Aside from Performance Chemicals, our combined businesses in a sluggish global economy grew revenues 5% while delivering 11% earnings growth, much more in line with our long-term target growth rates of 7% and 12%. And our operating margins increased about 100 basis points to 16.8%. Importantly, these businesses delivered solid results by continuing to execute well against our strategic and operational priorities. Specifically regarding innovation, our integrated customer-centric innovation teams connected with our exceptional science resources to deliver a steady stream of new products. For the year, we introduced 1,753 new products, and our market-winning products like Optimum Acromax Technologies, Optimum Aquamax Hybrids, Rynaxypyr Insecticides, and Solamet Pace contributed to market share gains. Regarding global reach, our volume growth in developing markets was 11% in the fourth quarter and for the year as we successfully leveraged our market positions. For productivity, we exceeded our goals, including residual cost elimination for the year. And as you know from our announcements, we moved decisively forward in 2013 to reshape our portfolio for higher growth. In February, we completed the $5 billion divestiture of Performance Coatings. In July, we acquired the controlling interest in Pinar Seed in South Africa. In October, we announced the decision to separate our $7 billion Performance Chemicals segment. And in November, we announced that we had signed definitive agreements to sell Glass Laminating Solutions and Vinyls, a part of the Packaging and Industrial Polymers business in Performance Materials. These events followed our 2011 Danisco acquisition, and they are all integral steps in our plan to refine our portfolio and deliver higher and less cyclical growth. In 2013, we raised our dividend 5% for the second consecutive year, and we executed a $1 billion share buyback. Today, we announced that our board has authorized a new $5 billion share repurchase program and that we expect to complete $2 billion this year. Nick will provide more details about the program. With that, I'll turn it over to Nick and Carl, and then I'll come back to address 2014. Nick?
Thank you, Ellen, and good morning, everyone. Let's start with the details of the quarter on slide 3. As Ellen indicated, we had a strong fourth quarter with operating earnings per share up 195%, almost triple a weak fourth quarter last year. In agriculture, strong insecticide sales growth in Latin America, coupled with earlier seed shipments for the Safrinha corn season in Brazil and earlier seed shipments in North America, contributed to our positive earnings for the segment. In electronics and communications, operating earnings more than double last year on higher operating margins fueled by stronger demand for Solamet Pace and Tedlar films in photovoltaics. Likewise, higher margins in safety and protection were driven by improved demand for Kevlar and Nomex fibers. In fact, this was the fourth consecutive quarter of operating margin improvement in safety and protection. Operating earnings in this segment were up 57%, and we saw continued productivity gains. Finally, in nutrition and health, operating earnings increased 40% due to improved pricing and stronger demand for cultures, probiotics, and specialty proteins. Consolidated net sales of $7.7 billion were up 6% versus the prior year. Volume increased 9%, led by electronics and communication, which grew volume 17%. In agriculture, volumes grew 14%, reflecting the earlier timing of seed shipments that we anticipated. Weaker local pricing of 2% in the quarter was primarily driven by Performance Chemicals and significantly lower pass-through metals pricing in electronics and communications. From a currency perspective, the dollar continued to strengthen against most other currencies, particularly the Brazilian real and the Japanese yen. This impact, however, was partially offset by a weaker dollar versus the euro. The net result was a 4-cent hurt for the quarter. For the full year, currency was a 15-cent per share headwind versus last year. In 2013, we delivered solid revenue growth, double-digit operating earnings growth in three of our segments, and operating margin improvement in five segments. However, these gains were largely offset by the steep 45% or 66 cents per share decline we experienced in our Performance Chemicals segment earnings as a result of the significantly lower global TiO2 prices throughout 2013. For the full year, our 20.8% base tax rate was about a point lower than the base tax rate we anticipated 3 months ago, and more than 3 points lower than the prior year. This lower rate in 2013 primarily results from the favorable geographic mix of earnings. Additionally, our base tax rate for 2013 was favorably impacted by the inclusion of the U.S. R&D credit and other U.S. business tax provisions that were reenacted in the first quarter of 2013. The significantly lower fourth quarter rate reflects a year-to-date catch-up adjustment to our full-year base tax rate of 20.8%. Turning now to slide four, I'd like to highlight some of our geographic results. Sales in developing markets increased 9% during the quarter on 11% higher volume. Sales in developing EMEA increased 16% in the quarter versus fourth quarter 2012, where our acquisition of Panar Seeds in South Africa contributed favorably to the growth as we broadened our geographic footprint. In Latin America, sales grew 8% on 12% higher volume, where demand for our insecticides was very strong. In developing Asia, sales grew 6% in the quarter on 13% higher volumes. Now let's turn to the fourth quarter segment operating earnings analysis shown on slide 5. You can see clearly here the strong performance we had across all of our segments. You can also see that in the fourth quarter, we had only a slight decline in Performance Chemicals versus the prior year. In a few minutes, Kyle will provide you more details for each of these segments. Turning now to slide 6, you can see the major contributions of the year-over-year change. Strong segment results contributed 26 cents higher operating earnings in the quarter, and this includes the decline from Performance Chemicals and the 4-cent currency hurt. The lower tax base tax rate provided an 11-cent benefit in the quarter versus 2012, a few cents better than we had anticipated in October. The favorable variance in corporate expenses provided a benefit of 3 cents in the quarter, reflecting ongoing cost control in our support functions. Let me also point out here that we met the $300 million in savings that we targeted for 2013 for the program, including the successful elimination of corporate residual costs that were left following the Performance Coatings divestiture. As previously communicated, we highlighted the overhang in corporate costs so that our progress to eliminate them could be easily tracked by our investors. In addition, we met our fixed costs and working capital productivity targets. In total, both the 2012 restructuring and the fixed cost and working capital initiatives contributed significantly to offsetting inflation and helping to fund our growth investments. Moreover, we expect to continue to deliver ongoing productivity in 2014. Turning now to the balance sheet and cash on slide 7. We ended the year with $1.3 billion of free cash flow on a total company basis versus $3.1 billion last year. This decline primarily reflects changes in working capital in our ag segment and the lower performance chemicals earnings, along with the absence of performance coatings earnings in 2013 following our divestiture. Capital expenditures were up modestly from $1.8 to $1.9 billion. We ended 2013 with a net debt of $3.4 billion, which was $4 billion less than our position in December 2012. Year-end cash balances increased to about $9 billion, as anticipated. Let me also point out here that our unfunded pension and OPEB liabilities decreased nearly $5 billion from $13 billion last year to $8 billion now. We had previously communicated to you that we expected the unfunded liabilities to decrease $2 to $3 billion. However, the impact of the higher discount rate and higher than projected trust asset returns, including the strong equity market performance in the fourth quarter, brought our unfunded pension and OPEB liability down even more than we had anticipated. As a result, we have significantly improved the strength of our balance sheet. Turn now to slide 8. I'd like to review our assumptions regarding our key markets and the broader economy in 2014. These highlights form the foundation for our 2014 guidance. Broadly speaking, we expect global growth of about 3% against the backdrop of a world economy that continues to face many uncertainties. We expect global industrial production to increase about 4% in 2014. We see signs of recovery in Europe and Japan, with growth firming in China. In agriculture, the fundamentals are healthy, and we anticipate lower planted acres that will favor soybeans versus corn as commodity prices transition off their 2012 peak. Auto and housing are also expected to improve. With this backdrop, now let's turn to slide 9. We expect 4% revenue growth in 2014 to about $37 billion. This includes nearly a 2% decline from portfolio changes. Our outlook for operating earnings per share is $4.20 to $4.45, up 8 to 15% from 2013. This takes into account the fourth quarter early seed shipments highlighted in our news release and anticipates a slight reduction in diluted shares outstanding by year end. For the full year, we expect our base tax rate to be about 22%. And capital expenditures to be about equal to last year at $1.9 billion. Pharmaceutical royalties will be minimal this year, so beginning in 2014, they will be reported as part of other. In our reporting, similar to 2013, non-operating pension expense will be excluded from operating earnings. We anticipate these expenses will be about 9 cents per share for the company, compared to 39 cents last year. As mentioned previously, the significant reduction in 2014 is due to the higher discount rate and higher pension asset returns achieved in 2013. It is exactly this level of volatility that prompted our decision to exclude non-operating pension and OPEB from our operating results. Also in 2014, in order to provide you a clear understanding of the underlying performance of our segments, we will exclude from operating earnings the transaction-related costs for the separation of performance chemicals and report them on Schedule B of our earnings report. Be assured that separation work is well underway, and we intend to provide you with a full-year estimate of these costs later in the year. Turning now to slide 10, I'll cover a few details about share repurchase announcement this morning. Today we announced that our board of directors authorized a $5 billion share repurchase program of the company's common stock. While the program is not time-limited, we intend to complete $2 billion this year. Assuming today's price and expected dilution from benefit plans, we have assumed that the current year repurchase will reduce diluted shares outstanding at year-end by about 1 to 1.5%. Taking into account the averaging of the shares each quarter and for the year. We expect to begin repurchasing shares in the first quarter with the impact on fully diluted average shares occurring across the remaining quarters. We plan to fund the repurchase from our current cash balance and will update you as we execute against this program. Our new $5 billion program, as I said, is not time-limited or restricted to dilution and replaces our previous $2 billion program from 2011, which still had $1.7 billion outstanding. Most important, we believe this repurchase, while meaningful in amount, is a measured approach that takes into consideration our improved balance sheet position and adheres to our financial disciplines, while at the same time providing us with the flexibility for making investments that support growth in our businesses. We believe this share buyback program is part of a continued commitment to provide attractive cash returns to our shareholders, and today's announcement reflects the confidence that we have in our plan to build a higher growth, higher value company. Our market environment continues to be a dynamic one. In looking back at 2013, we overcame significant TiO2 and currency headwinds. And in looking forward in 2014, we see continued gradual sequential improvements in the economy and in our businesses. We were encouraged as we enter 2014, and we are focused on executing our plans, but remain poised to capitalize on changing market conditions and growth opportunities. With that, I'll turn the call over to Carl to review the segments. Carl?
Thanks, Nick. I'd like to now provide some brief segment insights. As a reminder, the slides and complete segment commentary are posted on the Investor Center website under Events and Presentations, along with other materials for today's call. In agriculture, on slide 11, we completed another successful year of industry-leading performance with 13% annual growth in sales and 16% annual growth in operating earnings. We delivered a 60 basis point increase in operating margins despite the impact of higher seed input costs earlier in the year. Highlights included more than a 1 point of corn share gain in North America, a 3 point share gain in the 2013 Brazil Safrinha corn season, the successful launch of Approach, the coxystrobin fungicide in the U.S., and Rynaxypyr insecticide exceeding $1 billion in annual sales. Typically, our agriculture segment has a seasonal loss in the fourth quarter, but this year operating earnings were positive for the first time at $88 million. Earnings improvement was driven by strong insecticide sales in Latin America led by Rynaxypyr, earlier seed shipments in the Brazil Safrinha corn season, and earlier direct seed shipments to North American farmers. As a result of the earlier timing of seed shipments, about $100 million of operating earnings were realized in the fourth quarter versus the first quarter of 2014. As we move into 2014, the global ag economy remains healthy. Farmer cash income and commodity prices are transitioning off of peak levels as global stocks are rebuilding from historically low levels. We feel good about our seed and crop protection order books in North America, which are in line with our expectations for the season. For the first half of 2014, we anticipate modest increases in both sales and operating earnings, with growth rates negatively impacted by the previously mentioned timing change. We expect operating margins to partially recover following last year's 1 point first half decline as we benefit from lower seed input costs, while continuing to make targeted investments globally for growth. For the full year, we expect modest global growth in sales, with earnings up moderately. In electronics and communications on slide 12, operating earnings increased $50 million to $93 million, driven by higher sales volume and improved plant utilization. Higher volume, mainly from demand improvement and share gains in photovoltaic markets, was offset in part by lower selling prices, largely from the pass-through of substantially lower metals prices. For the full year, we expect sales to increase slightly as volume gains are tempered by declining metal prices with moderate growth in earnings. In Industrial Biosciences on slide 13, sales of $326 million were 9% higher on strong demand for Sorona polymer for carpeting and apparel and enzymes for ethanol production. Looking ahead, we expect full-year operating earnings to be up substantially from healthy enzyme demand in our core markets, animal nutrition, detergents, and ethanol. On slide 14, Nutrition and Health operating earnings of $81 million increased to $23 million, driven by pricing gains and increased demand in specialty proteins, probiotics, and cultures. Operating margin improved more than 2 points as pricing gains, mix enrichment, and productivity actions more than offset growth investments. For the full year, we expect modestly higher sales and significant operating earnings growth. We expect full-year operating margin to grow as we progress toward our long-term margin goals. Turning now to slide 15, as anticipated, we did record a modest fourth quarter earnings decline in performance chemicals versus last year, but we see signs that the market is stabilizing. Fourth quarter TiO2 volumes increased 18%, marking 4 consecutive quarters of year-over-year volume growth. Volumes were fueled by stronger demand in Europe and China. We view customer inventory levels as normal, and producer inventory levels remain essentially unchanged from the third quarter. Full-year volumes for our TiO2 business were up 14% versus the prior year. We expect earnings will be down significantly in the first quarter versus last year due to the lower year-over-year prices in TiO2 and fluoroproducts. However, we expect full-year 2014 earnings will be up modestly due to higher segment volumes. In Performance Materials on slide 16, we delivered another solid quarter by maintaining our focus on application development while leveraging our global reach. Fourth quarter operating earnings of $295 million increased $22 million or 8%. Sales of $1.6 billion were up 3% with higher volumes partially offset by lower prices. Our polymer sales into the China automotive market, for example, we're up 23% versus the prior year, marking 2 consecutive quarters where growth exceeded 20%. 2013 was a strong year, and we increased full-year operating margins by 100 basis points to 20%. In 2014, operating earnings are forecasted to be essentially flat as modest volume growth is offset by lower capacity due to a scheduled ethylene outage and the impact of portfolio changes, principally the glass laminating solutions vinyl sale anticipated later in the year. In safety and protection on slide 17, improved demand for Kevlar and Nomex fibers, coupled with the benefits of our prior year restructuring and productivity gains, lifted quarterly earnings by 57%. Operating margins for the segment also improved for the 4th consecutive quarter. While segment sales were up 1%, a strong sales mix delivered the positive earnings growth despite continued weakness in the governmental spending section in all regions. For 2014, operating earnings will be up moderately, reflecting improved demand with a richer sales mix alongside continuing productivity gains. That concludes our comments about segments. Now I'll turn it back to Ellen.
Great. Thank you, Carl. As we move forward in 2014, we have positive momentum across our portfolio. While uncertainties exist, market demand is improving, and we're executing successfully against our value creation plan. We expect the gradual sequential improvement in the global economy that we saw at the end of last year to continue. From a regional perspective, we expect gradual improvement in the U.S. economy to continue. Demand projections from the automotive and housing industries are positive. This provides a good platform for growth in our performance materials, safety and protection, industrial bioscience, and performance chemicals segment. In Europe, our business has improved in each of the past two quarters. We expect sequential growth to continue as industrial production across Europe recovers from recession. In Central and Eastern Europe, our largest business is in agriculture, where we see plenty of opportunity for continued growth in 2014. In addition, we expect our advanced materials businesses to benefit from the GDP growth that is projected in developing Europe. In China, we're assuming GDP growth will remain in the 7 to 8% range and anticipate continued improvement in key areas like photovoltaics and automotive. We are closely monitoring infrastructure investments as they have a positive implication for DuPont in our electronics and communications, performance chemicals, and safety and protection businesses. From an industry perspective, we expect healthy fundamentals in the automotive industry as global car builds are projected to increase about 4%. We'll continue to leverage our innovation centers to partner with OEMs and apply our world-class application development expertise to meet their challenges in performance, lightweighting, and energy efficiency. In the global TiO2 market, we saw the industry stabilize in 2013 with stronger global demand driving lower inventory levels throughout the value chain. In 2014, we anticipate that industry fundamentals will continue to show improvement, but the timing and strength of a recovery is evolving. In agriculture, we expect another year of solid operating earnings growth against a backdrop of an ag economy which remains healthy, but where farmer income and commodity prices are transitioning off of their peak. Though growers remain somewhat uncertain about the total planted areas and which crop to plant, our attractive value proposition to maximize their profitability is clear. Our order book in seed and crop protection confirms that our customers continue to demand our newest high-performing, innovative seed and crop protection technologies. Our strategies and priorities are clear, goals are defined and in place, and we are executing well. We remain focused on advancing our operational priorities, innovation, global reach, and strong execution. Paired with disciplined capital allocation, these priorities will enable us to continue our track record of delivering increased value for our shareholders while achieving our long-term growth targets. Our businesses will leverage their scientific capability to increase return on research and development while expanding our pipeline. We continue to strengthen our market penetration in developing markets and increase collaborations with the region's fast-growing companies. And we'll continue a relentless focus on cost and capital productivity across the company, as we've successfully done over the past 5 years. In summary, we're looking forward to 2014 and to advancing each of our strategic and operational priorities. These priorities form the backbone of our value creation strategy and chart the best pathway to building a higher growth, higher value DuPont company for our shareholders. Carl, back to you.
Okay, thank you, Ellen. Let's open up the line now for your questions. John?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. If you would like to pose a question, please press star then number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. In the interest of time, management requests that you limit yourself to one question and one follow-up question, and please pick up your handset for optimal sound quality. If you have additional questions, you may re-enter the queue. And our first question is from P.J. Juvekar from Citi.
Yes, hi, good morning. A quick question on ag. You know, ag pricing was flat in 4Q, but maybe there was some impact of the real devaluation. So can you talk about what kind of local seed pricing did you achieve in the Safrinha season in Brazil and in North America?
Thanks, PJ. The, you know, the planting has begun, you know, in Brazil. It's a dynamic situation. We find people that are still very interested in what the seed can do with them. I mean, Safrinha corn acres are going to be down, but they're interested in the new technologies, the new hybrids. You know, we continue to see good demand for our high-performing products. You know, in South American pricing, our card prices are flat to up slightly. North America, I'm sorry, our card prices are flat to up slightly. And expect modest price increases, you know, based on a lot of mix improvement there. So it still is, you know, the order books are about as expected. It still is a very dynamic situation, but we see it one playing out strongly in terms of the newer products and what we can do then to impact their yield in 2014.
And my follow-up question is quickly on the royalty payments to Monsanto that you will have in 2014 and 15. Can you just walk us through how does that impact your income statement and cash flow? Thank you.
Well, you know, as you know, royalty payments, we record them as we sell units. So we have a small introductory launch in 2014, so it's going to have a small impact. I think, you know, if I remember correctly, it's going to be about 5% of our 2014 sales volume will be these products.
And our next question is from Jeff Zekauskas from J.P. Morgan.
Hi, good morning. I was wondering if Nick could clarify something on share repurchase. It looks like you're going to buy back about, I don't know, 32 million shares this year. How many shares are you going to issue? In that when you did your 1.5% calculation, I couldn't tell what came from an average share count difference and what came from newly issued shares.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks. So your calculation is about right. I mean, you have to look at the price when the shares are purchased. But if you do it based on today's pricing, you would say somewhere around 30 million shares would be coming back. And then you also have to consider the time element of when those are going to occur as to how much they're going to impact the diluted share count. But specifically around your how many are going to be reissued in the way of dilution, if you look historically, it's somewhere in the range of 8 to 12 million shares, new shares issued historically on a per-year basis.
Okay, great. And for my follow-up, you've got a turnaround in your Orange, Texas cracker. I guess that begins in May. So I would imagine that that doesn't affect your first quarter performance materials results. Is that correct? It would affect the second quarter performance materials results?
Yeah, it'll affect the second and third quarter because of the lack of volume that'll be coming out in the second. We think it'll bleed over a little bit to the third as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Don Carson from Susquehanna Financial.
Yes, a question on corporate costs. Nick, you mentioned that you've pretty much offset the $200 million stranded costs associated with coatings. I'm wondering, what's the amount of stranded costs that you see with once you exit Performance Chemicals? And is there a view to try and get ahead of that and maybe take more aggressive action on corporate infrastructure costs this year?
So, you know, when you look, we've talked about this a little bit before, Don. When you look at the people that were involved in the coatings divestiture, significant number, very labor intensive, less folks in the PChem side, so less of the overhead impact that would be applicable than you saw on the coating side. You know, the number is about half of a overhang in that one versus what was on the PChem side. But then when you talk about the other opportunities, maybe Ellen, you want to...
Yeah, you know, so as I take a look at it, although the people are less and that does have an impact, it is about 20% of our company from a revenue base. And so we're looking, we're taking the opportunity in 2014 to relook at our corporate core, to relook at how we support the businesses from every function and how the businesses deploy regionally to understand, you know, is there a different opportunity for us to take some action this year that would enable a more efficient, more effective structure going into the spin. So we're in the beginning of that process right now. We're benchmarking other companies, looking deeply into our own, how we structure that. And I think that we'll be talking about that more as the year goes on, because my goal would be to, as we effect this spin, to go into it with momentum, in terms of the corporate core and not have that overhead, be with us for the year as it has been in 2013.
And do you have a preliminary target for what additional costs you might be able to take out beyond the stranded costs?
Yeah, no, we'll share that with you when we get something that it can, you know, has a some meaning behind it.
And our next question is from David Begleiter from Deutsche Bank.
Thank you. Ellen, just on TiO2, are you expecting some price increases in the back half of the year?
Well, you know, TiO2 is one of the hardest things to predict, and as I call it, the market in the industry is evolving. You know, we've seen it bottoming. We've seen volume progression, as you've seen. I think it's going to depend on how strong the economy is and what kind of growth we see there next year. And I think it'll play out much as the market, you know, we see. We're saying first quarter earnings are going to be down. It's just the math of where the volume and price is. But that for the full year, it's going to be, you know, our PChem segment's going to be up a little bit. So we do believe that the economy and what the markets are doing will predict exactly how that's going to play out.
And just on safety, strong Q4 results, Ellen, can you talk about the mix impacting Q4 and the potential for margins in 2014, given that improved mix and perhaps filling up Cooper River as well?
Yeah, so, you know, we delivered a strong fourth quarter, obviously, especially from operating earnings standpoint, and that's driven off of demand for Kevlar and Nomex and even the service businesses closing out some of their year-end projects and things like that. We saw the benefits from the restructuring and the productivity in that segment that we put in. We have seen improved plant utilization at Cooper River, and that's really what's driving the four consecutive quarters of operating margin improvement. In 2014, we expect mix to be a positive, so a slight margin improvement from that as we continue to drive in that business. We're making progress. I think we're getting getting the job done, and we'll continue to improve throughout 2014.
And let me just add, you know, and the progress we're talking about is not only from the utilization, but also from the productivity and the restructuring work that was done in realizing that value.
And our next question is from Robert Cort from Goldman Sachs.
Thank you. Good morning. I had a question on TiO2. I was intrigued by your comments that there's been improvement in Europe and China, but it would seem that maybe the end markets have been stronger in the U.S. So is there something peculiar about why you haven't seen better trends in the North American markets?
Yeah, I think that it was North American season we're just heading into now. So I think in North America, because of construction, you know, didn't have as big an impact as we saw with the variability in China and with Europe being on its back. I mean, we saw growth in all regions. It was just notable in Europe and China.
And on your Orange turnaround, are you going to be able to add any incremental capacity to that low-cost unit?
I'd love to, but I don't think so. We need to get this done so we can continue to operate it at the very high utilizations that we operate that unit.
Great, thank you.
Our next question is from John Roberts from UBS.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Would you expect the ag business to return to a loss in the next fourth quarter, or are those distribution changes in the U.S. and Latin America continuing so that you might see the same kind of effect as at the end of this year?
Hey, you're asking the same question I was asking the team. You know, I think what we see is with the progression of the crop protection project products, specifically insecticide Rynaxypyr, which has a huge impact in the fourth quarter in Latin America. We see with localizing our production capability in Latin America and the seed business has enabled us to shorten those supply lines, and people want their hybrids and their kernel sizes and things like that. So we think that it'll be positive in the fourth quarter going forward. So we'll see. I mean, a lot of it depends on how the season down in Latin America plays out. And the Safrinha corn shipments, you know, those investments have enabled us to basically deliver on that in the fourth quarter.
Is it too early to talk about emerging market industrial trends? The stock market's obviously very concerned about that, but you're a little bit further up in the supply chain in many of your businesses that maybe you're just not seeing anything yet?
Yeah, I mean, that's one. I mean, you know, we read the papers, too, so we're looking at that very, very strongly. We had a good 2013 in emerging markets. I mean, if you look at it in total, volumes are up 10%. Now, sales were up 6%, and that's based on TiO2 pricing and the metals pass-through with a negative last year. But, you know, we finished the year strong in the fourth quarter with volumes up 11%, and that was largely driven by China with photovoltaics. And they were catching up for the year, and that's not lost on me. They had a weak first half of 13%. But photovoltaics was catching up. TiO2 volumes are there. So we watch it very, very carefully because, you know, every quarter seems to be a new quarter in the emerging markets, and you've got to be very agile and be able to move very quickly depending on the trend. So, you know, we are cautiously, you know, optimistic, maybe too strong a world, but we think it's going to be, we think it's going to be sequentially continue to improve.
John?
Next question. Hello?
John? I'm sorry. Next question is from Vincent and from John McNulty from Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning. This is actually Ernie Ortiz filling in for John. So you saw some pretty good volume growth in electronics and communications, but pricing seems to be getting weaker. What are you seeing in the PV markets, and any idea when the inflection point is for pricing in electronics?
So pricing in electronics is purely silver. So if you think about the change in silver price over the last year, it's a negative, I don't know, 10-12%, and that'll continue in the first quarter. So the pricing of our materials at silver is very much a function of the efficiency that it enables in the solar modules and the like. And we're getting really good response off of our new Solamet paste business and the Tedlar films, because of their longevity and their ability to create long warranties on these units. So the year-over-year kind of pricing is a function of silver, and we're making impact based on the functionality of the materials themselves, and that's enabling share gains for us in that marketplace.
Great. And as a follow-up, I think you had guided to about $300 million of pre-tax cost savings in 2013. So first, were you able to achieve that, and any kind of guidance for 2014 or how we should think about that for 2014?
Yeah, we had strong performance on our productivity targets. We were able to, as I mentioned in the call, we were able to get rid of all of the DPC overhang that is gone, and we were able to meet all of our other targets around fixed cost productivity. As far as next year goes, you know, we're going to continue to drive productivity within the company. We'll have some additional gain from the restructuring effort that occurred in 12, about another $150 million more there, and we're looking at about another $300 million of other productivity gains. So if you look towards 14, it's probably going to be around that 400 to 450 range.
Great. Thank you.
Our next question is from Kevin McCarthy from Bank of America.
Yes, good morning. Your pension deficit narrowed about twice as much as expected. It sounds like that was mostly capital markets related. But my question is, what implications, if any, does that have on capitalization of performance chemicals as you spin it off in terms of debt load or allocation of the pension?
Yeah. So let's talk just a little bit about what happened on the pension liability first, Kevin. So when you look at it, driven by really three things, about half of the reduction in the liability came from the discount rate changing. And if you look at the global discount rates, they improved by about 69 basis points. So 69 basis points had a little over $2.5 billion of impact on the liability. The other two components were the return on the assets were much better than anticipated in the original estimate, almost doubled, and the changes in the OPEB plan adjustments, those two together account for the other half, or roughly about $5 billion of liability reduction. Now, how does this impact the PCAM piece? You know, I've talked about this before. These are decisions that we're going to be making as we move forward with the separation. But when you look at the decision around what goes to PCAM in the way of potential pension liability or debt, it's really either or there. So you can choose to put no pension and load up on more debt, or you can choose to put pension in debt, or it's a balance. And so those decisions will be made further out in the process, but this really won't have an impact on that as we move forward.
As a follow-up, if I may, I think last month, Nick, when you unveiled your macro outlook for 2014, you had the dollar strengthening about 2%. Is that still the case today, or have you made any adjustments there, given the volatility that we've seen?
Yeah, it's going to be slightly up in 2014. The dollar strengthening is going to be slightly up, so we'll have some additional headwinds in 2014.
Our next question is from Frank Mitsch from Wells Fargo.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my question. A question on use of cash. Obviously, you unveiled this the new share buyback program today, and you indicated that you got $1.7 billion of debt maturing here in the first half. I was wondering if you were going to pay that off or refi that. What's the current M&A market like out there, and what are the possibilities that we could see DuPont be active in doing something from a corporate perspective?
Great. Frank, so you're right about the 1.7 of debt, and that's just going to pay that off. We're not going to refi that, so we'll use the cash we have on hand to do that, as well as the 2 billion share repurchase. So, and as far as the M&A market, you know, we continue to look. Ellen, maybe you want to
see. Yeah, no, I mean, we continue to look and see that there is opportunities, smaller in nature, more specific to geographies like Pinar or technology. And, you know, we continue to pursue them. As you know, I have a pretty high bar in terms of what's required for us to affect that. And we continue to work in those markets. So, you know, we calculated that this buyback still has an opportunity for us to do some bolt-ons and some things like that. So, but we thought it was important, given the big change from the pension and OPEB standpoint, that we be clear about how we're going to utilize our cash.
That's very helpful. Sorry that you're going to pay down that loan, Nick, because I was actually going to offer you a teaser rate and a toaster. if we got part of that business. Lastly, on the spinoff of Performance Chemicals, what is your current thoughts on timing? And does the possibility exist that there might be a sale involved of part or all of that asset?
Yeah. So the timing is still, as we discussed, second quarter of 2015. We're working on the carve outs. We've named the leaders, as you've seen. We'll continue that planning process. That's 5 quarters from now. We'll see what happens, transpires between now and then, but we have a good economic model of what this spin will bring and I think we're driving down that path.
Our next question is from Lawrence Alexander from Jefferies.
Good morning. Two quick ones. First, on the electronics and communications segment, considering the strength of the year-over-year performance expected in Q1, how are you expecting the cadence in the balance of the year? And are there any headwinds that are becoming more severe over the course of the year? And then on the nutrition business, can you give a quick survey of regional trends? Thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, electronics is always one that is hard to predict. You know, we've given you the input for the first quarter. For the whole year, we are expecting the growth in installations on TV to be about the same as where it has been, about 15. So we expect that to continue. You know, we saw a lot of our volume this year in the second half of the year. So the first part of 14 looks like it's starting strong. We will see where that goes. We're thinking that for a whole year, you know, we're in good shape for moderate earnings growth, even with the change in the silver pricing year over year. So that's one that we watch very carefully because there is a lot of noise out there relative to whether it's trade issues or things like that. But I tell you, with the efficiencies and where the pricing is on these modules today, it really is driving adoption rates that should be able to accomplish that the growth this year.
And with that moderate earnings growth, you know, because what Ellen said on the metals piece, top line is going to be only slightly up, but without the metals piece would be more in the modest range.
Yeah, as far as nutrition, you know, in the regions go, you know, there's no standouts. We're seeing broadly demand across all regions, real interest in some products like probiotics and the real differentiated food ingredients, and we're seeing it in Latin America, we're seeing it in Asia, North America, Europe, and so we're making great progress in that business. And, you know, we've spent the time over the last 2 years really building out the capability for that business in the emerging markets, and we're seeing the results of that. So we're very pleased with the progress we're making.
Our next question is from Duffy Fisher from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Just want to go back to the seed pull forward real quick. I mean, just a quick calculation. To me, that seems like it's over 1.5 million bags of seed that got pulled forward. One, is that roughly the, you know, which I would put as, say, 10% of your seed sales in the Americas? Is that about the right sizing of it? And then what's the split between Latin America and North America?
Yeah, no, I think the numbers you're quoting are high from my standpoint. I think it's 60. It's 60-40, really. 60 Latin America, about 40% is U.S.
Okay. And then just one last one quick on the lead paint litigation in California that you guys got extricated from. Is that still your responsibility, or is that the responsibility of your paint business that you spun off Exalta?
The DuPont was the person that was named in the suit. And nobody's responsible for it because we got excluded.
No, so, I mean, but you're still handling the legal side of it, so you're still defending yourself. That didn't get passed on to Exalta, I guess, is the way.
No, that litigation was a DuPont litigation historically.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Mike Ritzenhaller from Piper Jaffray.
Good morning. Within ag, I'm wondering if there are any updated thoughts around the acreage estimates for the latest seed products with the earlier seed delivery for corn, you know, looking at 10 million acres of AcreMax, Aquamax, and two-thirds from AcreMax, and then with more favorable soybean economics, whether the soy supply chain is geared for more substantial growth than the one-third that Paul was talking about 3 or 4 months ago.
I think on Aquamax last year we did just over 7 million acres. This year it's going to be over 10. So I think we performed well. We're happy with what we saw out of that performance in 13. And I think that's going to continue to make progress. You know, we see the new varieties, the new hybrids really continuing to penetrate as people understand what the value of that truly is. So we're making good progress there. You know, and the order book is showing that. It confirms the grower demand for our newest technologies. And you know, I think another proof point there is that cash payments for North America season are up slightly. And so, you know, they are, I think that's a positive as well.
Sure. And then real briefly on TiO2 feedstock pricing. I don't know if there was any part of your prepared comments that talked about your outlook for feedstock supply and demand, not necessarily TiO2 itself, but just on the feedstock side.
Yeah, I guess, Lamar.
Well, yeah, so when you look at market costs for ore, they're down from the peak. It all depends on the contractual arrangements you have. So our ore costs may be up slightly, but even with that ore cost being up slightly, we're still very advantaged versus the market environment.
Okay, John, that concludes the time that we have for the call today. I want to thank everyone for joining us today. The IR team is available and happy to take any follow-on questions that you have. Thank you all very much for joining us today.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.